here and a part of the service. It just warms my heart. I figured I was going to be here all by myself. So I'm glad you've come today and been a part of the service this morning. Today we looked at the book of Revelation, a little bit of an introduction of the introduction, plus my wife. I thought we would be the only ones here today. It's good that everyone showed up and is a part of the service today. And those also online, thank you for being here. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Revelation. We kind of started a little bit of an introduction to this book. Revelation chapter 3 is what we're going to look at today. And we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. This is the church of Laodicea. And we looked at the seven churches today during our Sunday school hour. We're kind of in the midst of it. And I thought, let's go ahead and have a message this morning during the service from that Bible study in the book of Revelation there in Sunday school. So we're going to look at the church of Laodicea. And I would like to begin reading at verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And verse 14, a message to Laodicea. And this is a church in the town of Laodicea. And it says this: "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witnesses, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shames of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salves, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." The church of Laodicea kind of reminds us of the church today. And let's look at this church of Laodicea. And before we do so, let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. I pray that you will help us to focus on your word today, that we might draw closer to you, and that we might have a desire to serve you and to love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we look at these seven churches, let me quickly share with you the first church mentioned was the church of Ephesus. And they were the loveless church. And they were condemned for their coldness, that they're so cold. And then the church in Smyrna was the persecuted church. But even in the midst of this persecution, they endured. They remained to it. They chose to endure. And they were not condemned at all by the Lord Jesus Christ. The third church is the church of Pergamos. They were a worldly church. And their prayers was that they were faithful. And they were condemned for their false teaching. Then the Thyatira church, they were the organized church. Their praise was their industry, but they were condemned for their unfaithfulness. Then the church of Sardis, they were the lifeless church, they weren't condemned, they were encouraged in their praise. Then we have the church of Philadelphia. This was the missionary church, they were praised for their endurance. And then today we want to look at the Laodicea church. They were the indifferent church. There was no praise at all for them. And they were condemned because they were lukewarm. They were a liberal church, like the liberal churches of today. Jesus was at the door knocking, but nobody answered. And they were found to be very lukewarm. So let's look here in Revelation chapter 3. at this letter to the church of Laodicea. Their history, they were engaged in money and business, and they were very, very wealthy. They had lots of money. They were famous for the money that they raised, the clothing they had. They even had a school, or rather a medical institute, that studied concerning ISAF. And to produce this ISAF, they were also had this academy as well as a school of higher training and higher learning. First of all, we want to look here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, and that was their apathetic attitude. That even though they were wealthy, even though they had higher learning, and even though they had lots of clothing and lots of money, they were very apathetic. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. The Word of God shares with us here that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would, it says, thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, what does it say? I will spew thee out of my mouth. That word there, spew, has the idea of to vomit, to reject with extreme disgust. Spew thee out. Reject with abhorrence. God abhors difference in religion. The Word of God shares with us that they were so lukewarm that God was saying, I would spew thee out of my mouth. I would vomit you out. You know, it's very interesting that the Church of Laodicea had several different aqueducts that would come to the town providing water. Up in the mountains, they had a community that had the most refreshing, nice, and cool water. And they loved the idea of getting that cold, refreshing water from up in the mountains. So they built these aqueducts to bring that water to town. But by the time the water got to town, it was lukewarm. It was so long and in the sun that by the time it got to town, it wasn't as refreshing as it was up in the mountains. Then they also had a town not too far away that had a nice hot spring. And this nice hot spring was nice and hot and refreshing, a nice little pool to take a bath in. And they thought, hey, now that's the water we want. So this aqueduct would carry that nice warm water all the way to Laodicea. But by the time it got to town, it was just lukewarm. So the cold water that came from the mountains was lukewarm by the time it got there. And the water coming from this hot spring, by the time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. And God just used that illustration to share with Laodicea, that's your heart. It's just lukewarm. And it makes me sick. I'll just spew you out of my mouth. They chose to reject the Lord. The Lord was standing at the door, but the door was closed. They weren't interested in the things of God. And God used that illustration to illustrate to the church of Laodicea, that's the way you are before me. That's the way the church is. The church is just lukewarm. No matter what takes place, your heart is cold. Your heart is, and it just makes me sick. What a terrible thing to think of the church of Laodicea. A picture of the church even today that is lukewarm, not interested in the things of God. Our church's doors are closed through the community around us because we're just lukewarm. Our hearts are hardened. Not interested in the things of God. And that's what the Lord was saying about the church of Laodicea, the apathetic attitude. But not only do we want to look at the apathetic attitude in verses 15 and 16, but we also want to look at spiritual poverty. The Word of God shares with us in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The church at Laodicea, spiritual poverty. They say that they're rich. They say that they're increased with goods and have need of nothing. When their city was destroyed, In this disaster, they needed aid. And there was a community that said, we will help. We will help the church. We'll come in and provide for you. But they looked at them and said, no, we don't need your help. We're rich enough. We've got enough. And so we just do not need your help. This church was in a rich city and was rich in pride and conceit, but poor in grace and ignorant of its spiritual poverty. Perhaps some local example of self-complacency is in mind in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Their hearts were cold. Their hearts were empty. They say that yet we're rich. We're rich. We're fine. We do not need any help. But they were in spiritual poverty, not interested in the things of God and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for the church to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When their city was destroyed, Rome sent disaster relief, and they rejected it. You know, just as Jesus sends spiritual relief, eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible shares with us that, yes, we're all born in sin. And because of our sin, we are spiritually poor. We are bound like slaves in a slave camp, lost, condemned, and headed for hell. But Christ provides the riches through him and through his death and resurrection, that we might have life, that we might become rich for all eternity. And they rejected it. They turned it away. We're not interested. They were lukewarm. They were cold. They were poor in their sin, but yet no desire to reach out to the lost, to reach the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of the closed door. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have no need of substance, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. No interest in the things of God. The church of the closed door. Oh, I'm sure excited that the church here, the doors are open. We want to reach this community for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got a food bank that reaches out to those who are in need, those who have need of just regular substance, that we might be able to share with them the riches of what Christ has done for us. And our school, we need to pray for our school, the health of our young people, and their desire to have a heart that's warm to the things of God, interested in living for the Lord. Our hearts go out to them, and we pray for them, and we just pray that they'll have a love for the Word of God, a love for the things of God, to be interested in being faithful to the house of God, and to serve him with all their hearts. That's our prayer. That's our desire. I know Nancy's heart broken over things that have occurred, and God has a purpose for it all. And we just pray for our young people that they'll have a desire for the things of God. We don't want to be like the Church of Laodicea, whose doors are closed to the things of God. So not only do we want to look at the apathetic attitude, the spiritual poverty, but also the miserable existence. Look at verse 17, the end of it. It was miserable and poor and blind and naked. Note one article in the predicate with all these five adjectives, unifying the picture of sharp emphasis on thou that boasteth. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. The word wretched, enduring toils and troubles and afflicted, like in Romans 7:24. Miserable, pitiable, as in 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Oh, but our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in the Savior. Poor. Spiritual poverty, perhaps some local example of self-complacency is in mind. They're blind. Spiritual blindness, as often found in Matthew 23:17, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold, and not I, salve, in Revelation 3:18. You know, it's interesting that the Word of God shares with us that they are blind. And we think about the medical care that they take. And they have this institute that's producing eye salve. Eye salve to help to cure the eyes and to bring relief. And the Lord uses that and says, here you are producing salve for your physical eyes, but your spiritual eyes are blind. You don't see the love of God. You don't see the hope that we have in Christ. Your eyes are blind. They're closed to the things of God. Your doors are shut, all because of your blindness and your example of ignoring the things of God. The things of God are not important. Then we have the word naked. The figure completes the picture of actual poverty. Not even enough money to purchase clothing. No desire for eye salve that will help you to see and to see the truth and what God has for us. The hope is gone. The church of the closed door. There's a church up in Prescott Valley, and they're entitled the Church of the Open Door. Open Door Baptist Church. I like that name. Open Door Baptist Church. And you know, we should be that example as well. Example of an open door. Open door to those who are in need, and those who need a Savior, and trusting in Him and all that He has done for us. As you look at this church, the Church of Laodicea, we see a church of the closed door. Apathetic attitude, spiritual poverty, and a miserable existence. No desire to reach the lost for Christ. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The hope that we have in a Savior who loves us so much. The hope that we have in Christ. Oh, my plea, my prayer is that we'll be the Church of the Open Door. That we'll reach out to this community. Not to have a heart that's cold, lukewarm, but rejoicing what Jesus Christ has done for us. The hope of a Savior, a hope that we can cling to and remember. The book of Revelation. Do you realize the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing to those who read it? Powerful book. Come Sunday morning, not next Sunday morning, but the following, that we might continue this study in the book of Revelation. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God today. And for all those who are here in our midst, that we might study your Word, that we'll be excited about what Christ has done for us. Father, I pray that you'll keep each one of us healthy and strong. I pray for those who are sick, those who are not feeling well, that, Father, that you'll put your healing hand upon them. We think of Brother Tuck, his family, his wife, and for Kevin and Nancy and family. Just bless them. I pray that you'll encourage them during this time. I know they all wish that they could be here, but they're not here. I pray that you'll bless them and encourage them. And Father, we'll praise you for it. Melanie and her mom, who aren't here, we miss them. But we know that they have a purpose, they have a reason. I pray that you'll continue to strengthen them, help them to be strong and to focus on you. And Father, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's go to our closing hymn this morning. We have, if I can find it, I think I moved it away. Put it somewhere here. Here we go. Hymn number 154, hymn number 154, Jesus is calling. Hymn number 154, Jesus is calling. Let's go ahead and stand after you find it. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away? Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed, he will not turn thee away. Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now, waiting today, come with thy sin and his feet lowly bow, come and no longer delay. Jesus is pleading, oh list to his voice, hear him today, they who believe on his name shall rejoice, quickly arise and away. Thanks so much for coming this morning. And of course, next Sunday, be sure to be here. Pastor from Kentucky, his family are going to be here. He'll be speaking for Sunday school, Sunday morning and Sunday night, as we prayerfully consider possibly him coming and being the pastor of this local church. I have enjoyed this immensely. I enjoy being a part of the church to encourage the church, keep the church going. And as an evangelist, the opportunity through our mission board is on an extended project. And so I'm allowed to have an extended project up to 4 months. And then from there, seeking what God has for us. And so we're looking forward to the future. I have several vacation Bible schools and Bible camps back in Iowa, as well as here in Arizona. I have some VBSs coming up here. And so it's going to be a great summer. And maybe even looking possibly into doing a vacation Bible school this summer here. We'll see what happens as the Lord so leads and opens doors. I have been told by Nancy and others that the church has never had a VBS. And so possibility of doing a vacation Bible school for the young people in the community is wide open. We'll see what happens. So we'll pray concerning that. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Hope to see you next Sunday. This Wednesday night again will be the opportunity to study the Word of God and pray together. So be sure to be here. Prayer meeting is a time of prayer. So you're welcome to come on Wednesday night as well. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, each one who's here. I pray for safety for Pastor there in Kentucky, that as they fly, that they will not be overwhelmed, but that you will protect them, keep them safe, that they'll arrive safely without any difficulties with luggage or scheduling. And Father, we'll thank you for that, as well as them being able to get back and continue the ministry there in Kentucky. We pray that you'll use today for your honor and glory. Bring us all back again tonight as we study through the book of Proverbs. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.